let's praise the Lord together.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
You called my name. darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing.
Standing on the rock. Amen. Amen. Folks, isn't it great that we get to worship the sun under the sun today? Isn't it great? Praise the Lord. So, hey, listen, before you have a seat, I want you to wave across the way to our friends on the other side of the lake. Hi, folks. How you doing? Oh, hey, it's great to have you here. Listen, take a moment, greet the people sitting next to you, sharing the corner of your blanket. So, and it's just great to have everyone with us today. And thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. Again, how awesome that we get to come out here, enjoy the property that God has given us to worship the King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, listen, we're so glad you're here. Listen, if maybe you're visiting with us for the first time, Maybe you're here today because a family member or friend is getting baptized, or you just happen to make today a day that you decided to visit Northwoods. We're so glad you're here. And even though we're outside, listen, we want you to know that we're here to answer any questions you have. We want to know how we can best serve you. So before you leave, you can find anybody wearing a royal blue shirt. You'll see them all over our campus, or you can find those wearing a kind of a gray pastor shirt. And we would love to just meet you, answer any questions that you might have. So, and maybe your question is, are you guys going to have food trucks every week? So, no, I can tell you we're not, but we're great to have them today. But listen, we want to just know how we can love and care and serve for you. And for the rest of us, this is where I want to encourage you to take out your phones, open up that Northwoods app. And listen, if you don't have that app, I'd encourage you to maybe download that, because that allows you to see everything that's going on in our church. All the things that I'm going to talk about today, we have a lot coming up as we're starting our fall. And it's a way for you to make sure that you can sign up, register, and just be in the know for all the things that are taking place. You can share prayer requests, and we have a team ready live to pray for prayer requests right now that you folks submit. And so that Northwoods app is important. It gets you connected with our e-news. It gets you a link to our website. You can follow along. There are places to take notes for Pastor John's message and just all things Northwoods. That's kind of your gateway and portal to being kept in touch. Well, I want to talk about two things that are coming up this week. So everybody say Wednesday night. All right, how many of you are glad that school's back in session? All right, that was all the parents. The kids are like, are you kidding me now? So, but listen, folks, this Wednesday, we are having our back-to-school prayer night. And I want to make sure you know that this is open to families, children, teenagers. This is open to grandparents. Listen, if you work at a school, whether it's public, Christian, homeschool, this is for educators. We are inviting you to come onto our campus, into our student center Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, and we want to take some time and we want to pray for this next school year. We want to pray over our students. We want to pray over our families. We want to pray over those who have answered the call to serve in education, to help invest in this next generation. And so we invite you. And even if you're like, hey, I don't have any kids around, or I don't teach at a school, but you just want to come and pray over students and families, we invite you this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock to come and join us for our back-to-school night. And then on Thursday, everyone say Thursday. Thursday. So many of you maybe have heard the slogan, every chair a church, right? How many of you have heard that before? Every chair a church. Listen, Northwoods has been partnering with Global Missions Partners for a number of years in a goal to help globally plant 3,000 churches by the year 2030. And just in case, if you've ever been in the auditorium and you're sitting and you see a plaque on the chair in front of you, each one of those plaques represents a church that has been planted that Northwoods has been a part of. Well, this Thursday night, we want to invite you to come and get an update on what's going on with our global church planting. So we're going to have a representative from our Poland and Europe church planting partnership is going to be here to give an update. It's going to be an opportunity for you to learn about what's going on as we're getting closer and closer to that 2030 year and see what God is doing as far as church planting. And so we invite you this Thursday to come back and just celebrate our Every Chair a Church Planting Initiative. It's going to be a great night to be informed and to worship and praise God for what he's doing. Now, how many of you, be honest, turned your AC off last night, opened the windows? It was a great night, all right? Or maybe you woke up this morning, it's a little chilly. Well, fall is coming, and fall means that there are a lot of activities that are going to be starting up here at Northwoods, and so we are getting ready to launch our fall schedule of classes. And there are going to be some of our standard classes that we have every fall. We're going to be offering some new classes this fall as well. And there are going to be events and classes for all age groups and stages of life. There are going to be small groups. There's going to be support groups as well as classes for you to come and participate in. And so, again, a great reason for you to go to that Northwoods app and it will list out all the different classes and events that are going to be starting up here in just a few weeks. So you can register, learn more about it, or have information of how you can contact our church to learn more about it. But again, as we start up this fall, it's just going to be a great time, and we want to invite you to come and be part of Northwoods in one of those many events and classes that we're going to be offering for you. Well, folks, thank you so much for your giving. For those of you that give to Northwoods, please know that God is using your generosity to do some incredible ministries. And so we just want to thank you and make sure that you know how much we appreciate your partnership with us. And we do, we want to try to make it as easy as we can for you to give. And so you can give online, you can give via text. You can give by dropping your giving off in any one of our secure giving boxes around our campus. But the bottom line is, thank you so much for your faithfulness and, again, your partnership with us for all that God is doing in and through Northwoods here and around the world. All right. Well, hey, if you are a student or a child, probably a child, so fifth grade or younger, maybe you got one of these packets when you came in today that has a bingo card, okay? So baptism bingo. And so here's the deal. Pastor John is going to be coming up now to teach. And as he's teaching, you can use this baptism bingo card, kids, to follow along and see how many different bingos you can get, because you can get multiple bingos. The only thing, though, is if you get a bingo, please don't shout out bingo. All right, because, you know, one, that'll make John jealous that he's not able to play bingo, but he's going to be teaching. But this is just a way for you to engage with what Pastor John is teaching about as we get ready to celebrate a great day of celebrating God's work in the lives of people who have said yes to Jesus. So are you guys excited for the rest of our service? All right. Well, amen. And so, folks, please welcome up Pastor John.
All right. Well, hey, good morning, Northwoods. Man, let's thank the Lord. We got a perfect day for Baptism Sunday, don't we? Wow. We've been praying for no rain, and he gave us a perfect day. And here in a little bit, there's many of you who have already pre-registered to be baptized. And we are going to celebrate and cheer on those people as they step in and publicly declare, hey, I'm on Team Jesus. It's going to be exciting. We're going to cheer them on, right? Amen. It's going to be good. Now, I'm excited to do this outside around the lake today because if you think about it, it was around a lake where much of Jesus' ministry occurred, the Sea of Galilee in Israel. And around that lake, he taught about the kingdom of God, he healed the sick, he delivered the oppressed, he performed miracles, and also what we're going to focus on for just a few moments here this morning is it was around a lake that he called his first disciples. So before we start baptizing this morning, we're going to take a few moments to reflect on that day around the lake when he called his first disciples and discover what it has to say to us today around this lake. So if you have your Bible or your phone, I want you to turn with me or swipe with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. Now again, we don't have the screens up here, so I really want to encourage you to follow along right where you're at. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. We're going to read this together. Mark 1:16, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, that was a lake, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. Now I want you to highlight, circle, underline, come, follow me. Three very important words that we're going to come back to in just a moment. Come follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. And it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. So now we have Simon and Andrew following Jesus. And it continues to verse 19. It says, when he'd gone a little further, meaning Jesus, when he'd gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, there's two things going on in this passage we just read. There's the invitation that Jesus extends, and there's the response of these four men. And briefly, we're going to look at both and discover who Jesus invites and how true followers respond. So let's start with the invitation Jesus extends. This is where I want you to take you back to that highlight, circle, underline, come follow me. You know, for many of us today, those are very familiar words. You've read these words, come follow me. But as we read this thousands of years, you know, a couple thousand years and miles removed from the time and place in which they were spoken, it's easy to miss just how counterculture his invitation actually was. And when we discover what was going on here, it actually sheds light on who Jesus invites to come and follow him. Now, show of hands for all the kids and students. How many kids and students we got in the crowd today? Like, if you're Northwoods kids, fifth grade, nine, put your hands up. All right, okay, we got you guys out here with us. Glad to have you guys. Okay, so back in Jesus' time, in many of these small Jewish towns around the lake, kids would go to school. And if you're in Northwoods kids, I want you to help me. We'll see if this works here. So if you're in fifth grade or below, I want you to stand up to help me with this, okay? So if you're in fifth grade or below, I want you to stand up. Wherever you are, all around the lake, fifth grade or below, go ahead and stand up. Come on, let's give it up for our Northwoods kids that are here with us today. Okay, so if you were in fifth grade or below, I'll tell you when to sit. Just keep standing for a minute. If you lived in that time, all of you standing, you would have gone to their elementary school. But it wasn't called Banner or Wilder Waite or Keller. It was actually called Beth Sefer, which means house of the book. And in school, you would learn reading and writing. And here's how you would do it is you would learn reading and writing through the first five books of the Old Testament. This was really your book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is what you would do. And most would be in school until the time they were 12 or 13. And then, at that point, for most, schooling was over. They were going to go home and help with the family business, whether it be leather working, pottery making, fishing, farming. So everyone now, if you're a fifth grader, I want you to remain standing. If you're a fifth grader, if you're a fourth grade and below, I want you to go ahead and grab a seat. So basically, all of you guys just went home to go work with the family. So now we just got the fifth graders. Okay, so if you, let's say fifth graders, you were the best and the brightest in the school. We say, you're the best and the brightest. You went on to the next level, Beth Midrash. Here you'd spend a few years studying the rest of the Old Testament scriptures and learning from a rabbi. Now, when I read that word rabbi as a kid, I used to think it meant ribeye. We're not talking about steaks, okay? If you're new to the Bible, a rabbi was just kind of a Jewish religious teacher. So you learned from a rabbi in that time. But then after this school, just for a few years, the vast majority of students were done. So of those of you standing who are in fifth grade, if your birthday is in June, July, or August, I want you to stay standing. The rest of you go ahead and take a seat. We got some June, July, August out here. Put your hand up so I can see it. June, July, August, fifth grader. Okay, we got one right here. Okay, we got a few. All right. Happy birthday, man, whenever your birthday was. But let's say you represent the best of the best of the best. The 1%. You're the cream of the crop. For you, it became possible to potentially become a disciple or a follower of a Jewish rabbi. But to do this, you would have to seek out a rabbi and ask, can I be your disciple? Can I come and follow you? And what that meant was, I don't want to just know what you know, but I want to do as you do, and I want to be like you. But just because you ask doesn't mean that you would be accepted. So this is like applying to a really prestigious college. And so if this Jewish rabbi, he'd come to you and he'd grill you on how well you knew the Old Testament, you know, name how many books are in the Old Testament, who are the prophets, how often do you pray? He'd be asking you this question. At the end of this period of learning about you, if he thought you had what it takes to someday become like him, he would say, come, follow me. But think about that. We started with all of Northwood's kids standing, but only a few got accepted as disciples. Now, if you're still standing, you can go ahead and take a seat. Give it up for our kids. Thanks for helping us out. So think about that. In that time, rabbis didn't go look for disciples. It was the other way around. Disciples came to the rabbis and asked, can I be your disciple? and then only the best of the best of the best, just like this guy down here, right down front, got invited to follow. So understanding that background, we begin to realize that what we see Jesus doing here in this story is actually a complete reversal of the normal practice of that time. He didn't wait for these disciples to come seek him out. He sought them out and extended the invitation. And not only that, but he didn't extend the invitation to the best of the best of the best. Here he invites fishermen. And remember, Simon, Andrew, James, and John are working in the family business, which means they probably didn't progress much past elementary school of their day. Yet Jesus comes to them and he says, come, follow me. And while he started with just 12 disciples, the invitation is now extended to not just some, but to all. And no one is excluded. The same three words Jesus spoke to everyday fishermen are the exact same three words he extends to ordinary people like you and like me. Come, follow me. And today I want you to hear Jesus saying, come, follow me. And by that he means, I don't want you to just know what I know, but become like me and do as I did. So we know who the invitation is for. But now the question becomes, how should we respond? Well, let's look at the example of these three, of these four disciples and the ways in which they responded. Again, we'll move forward. This. I know it's getting a little toasty out here. I see three distinct ways they responded. Look at verse 16. It says, at once, they left their nets and followed him. Notice, it doesn't say the next day they left their nets and followed him. It doesn't say after several days of prayer and fasting or after, you know, making a pros and cons list, they followed him. Nope, it says at once they left their nets and followed him. So how should we respond to Jesus' call? Here's the first way. Immediately. Immediately. You ever seen one of those emergency room billboards you see along the highway sometimes? There's one that every time I drive into Chattanooga to see my wife's family, there's a big emergency room billboard. And you've seen the ones that they have the live, like a live, like little scoreboard of the average wait time to get in the ER, like 21 minutes. Okay, I want you to think about that. We probably all have seen that. And let me ask you the question. When Jesus asks you to do something, what's your average wait time? 22 minutes? 6 months? 3 years? Now, certainly there are times when we should slow down and pray through a decision. That's not disobedience. That's wisdom. But there are also times when God has made something clear that there doesn't need to be a wait time. The response should be immediate. We don't need to wait around and decide if we should forgive someone. We don't need to discuss and hash out whether we should pray for our enemies and those who have hurt us. It's clear, and in those moments where it's plain and clear, there should be no wait time. The response should be immediate. This is what we see in Simon, Andrew, James, and John. There's no wait time. They got the invite. They responded at once. Immediately. And so it should be with us. So we respond immediately. Here's the second way we respond, is publicly. Publicly. Look with me a little bit further at James and John in verse 19 and 20. It says this. When he'd gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and look what it says, and they left their father in the boat with the hired men and followed him. In other words, their choice to follow Jesus wasn't private. Like it wasn't a closed door meeting where Jesus came to them and said, hey, what do you think about this? No, he called out to them while they were working with their family and employees in the fishing business. And publicly, in front of everyone, they dropped their nets, got out of the boat, and followed Jesus. So here's a phrase worth writing down. A relationship with Jesus is personal, but never private. Relationship with Jesus is personal, but never private. It's like when we follow him, we're not undercover. You know, I've told you before, I've shared about the time when I was in high school and my dad and I were in Philadelphia to watch the Packers play the Eagles. Now, I'd heard a lot about how brutal the fans in Philly could be. So on game day, I didn't wear anything that would indicate I was a Packer. I was a plainclothes Packer fan on that day. Okay, but my dad, that was a whole different story. He made it clear. He had his jersey on. He had his leather Packers jacket on. It said Super Bowl champs on. I think he had Packer gloves on. And so as we're walking to the stadium, we are literally getting cussed out by Philly fans. And I'm thinking, Dad, you just had to do it. Like, why? Now think about that scenario. Because for some of us, we're trying to follow Jesus like me in that instance. Undercover. Just going to blend in. Don't want to stand out. But to follow Jesus is to go public and let it show. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be loud with your words. It doesn't mean you have to go stand on a corner somewhere with a bullhorn and tell people to repent. It doesn't mean you have to constantly jump in your own comment section on social media debating people about their religious beliefs. Notice it wasn't what James and John said that identified them with Jesus. The text doesn't record them saying anything. They just got up, left the boat, and followed Jesus in front of everyone. It wasn't their words that spoke loudly, it was their actions. And you know, something similar is about to happen here today, because nobody's getting baptized in private. It's a public declaration. You're standing up and you're saying, I have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, and I identify with him in his death and burial and resurrection. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you've wondered, like, so why, what is baptism? Like, why do we do this? What does it signify? What does it mean? Well, it's really simple. When you see someone getting baptized, going under is a picture, as they go under that water, it's a picture of a death and a burial. A death and a burial of their old way of life before Jesus Christ. And coming up, that's a picture of a resurrection, being raised to new life with him. And so when you get baptized, you're in essence saying, I'm not ashamed to wear the jersey. Team Jesus. See, following implies that steps are being taken. You can't follow if there's not steps being taken. And after we surrender our lives to Christ, baptism is a step that the Bible calls us to take. But also recognize going public isn't just a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. It means living loud for Jesus right in the middle of the people you work with, the school you go to, the people you live across the street from. It's shown in the way we forgive people when they wrong us. It shows in the way we choose to tell the truth when lying would be more convenient and nobody would ever know. It shows when we walk in unity, walking hand in hand, even when we don't see eye to eye on every issue. See, following Jesus is to respond immediately and publicly. But there's one last way we see that we should respond. We follow immediately, publicly, and here's the last way we respond, sacrificially. Sacrificially. Did you catch that when describing Simon and Andrew and then James and John, there's one word used twice to describe both sets of brothers, what they did before they followed? I'm going to read, and I'll kind of highlight it as I speak here. See if you catch it. Verse 18 says this, at once they left their nets and followed him. Then in verse 20, describing James and John, it says, without delay he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So besides the word followed, the word that's used twice is the word left. They left something behind. Meaning there was sacrifice involved. Well, what did they sacrifice? Several things. Security. They left a paycheck. Fishing wasn't a hobby for them. It was a business. They sacrificed comfort. They left what they knew. They were in the fishing business. Now we're going into the people business. They sacrificed approval. They left their father standing in the boat. So think about this. They didn't just leave a business. They left a family business. So they very well could have been sacrificing the approval of their father and their family members. They also sacrificed control. They left calling their own shots. See, with fishing, they had a measure of control over the hours they worked, the places they went, the decisions that got made. But the moment they followed Jesus, now someone else is calling the shots. There's a new sheriff in town. He's the boss. So make no mistake, to follow Jesus will require sacrifice. You know, hundreds of years ago, the Knights Templar were a military order created to protect Christian visitors traveling to the Holy Land, Jerusalem. And there's an old story that people tell about them. I don't know if it's true, but it preaches well. So legend has it that before going into battle, they would be baptized. But as they're going under the water, the legend is they would hold their swords above their head. So every part is baptized but the sword, as if to say, Jesus, you can have all of me except for this. I won't sacrifice this. You know, if you think about that, we all probably got a this. We might not hold up a sword, but for us, it could be money, a relationship, a grudge, an entertainment habit. It could be anything. We say, Jesus, my life is yours. I'll follow, but just not this. Because we think if we let go of whatever it is, we're going to lose out on what we thought was the better life. But we fail to realize that Jesus is better than life. Amen? He's better than life. See, when my hand is a fist, I'm not going to be able to receive all that he has for me. And you know what? For some of you getting baptized today, maybe some of you here, you didn't even plan to get baptized. Stepping forward and getting baptized, there's sacrifice involved. Like you're sacrificing your pride. It's not easy to get up and stand up in front of everybody. You are leaving your life before Christ behind to follow him, and there's sacrifice involved, but it's worth it. Because with Jesus, when you follow him, you will receive more than you ever lose. You know, all those years ago around a lake, when Simon, Andrew, James, and John heard the invitation from Jesus, come follow me, they responded immediately, publicly, and sacrificially. And what I love about this moment is that here we are almost 2,000 years later, this Sunday, around a lake, and Jesus still offers the same invitation. Come, follow me. Only question is, how will you respond? Immediately? Without hesitation? Publicly? Not afraid to let it show who you follow? Sacrificially, letting go of what you think is the better life for he who is better than life? You know, many of us have responded to that invitation and surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. And baptism today is a tangible and practical way of responding to his invitation immediately, publicly, and sacrificially. And there are many of you today who have come ready this morning to do just that. In fact, I think last time I heard there's like 134 of you that had pre-registered. That's amazing. And we're here to celebrate with you and cheer you on this morning. But you know what? Maybe there are some of you here today and you're realizing, you know what? I responded to the invitation to follow Jesus years ago, but I have never, by my own decision, as a declaration of my faith, followed him into the waters of baptism. If that's you, if you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you've never, by your own decision, saying this is a declaration of my faith, never been baptized, if so, why wait another day? Respond to what the Lord's laid on your heart. You say, well, I didn't come prepared. Not a problem. We got shirts, we got shorts, we got towels. It's all here. And so if you're ready to respond, in a few moments, I'm going to call you forward. But before we get there, I want to take a moment to speak to those of you who are listening today, hearing about baptism, but maybe you've never taken the first step of placing your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's righteous standard. And therefore, all of us are separated from God and deserving of death. But the good news is that Jesus, on the cross, he took my sin, your sin, past, present, future. It was placed on him, and he paid the price for it. And 3 days later, was raised to life, and he lives today. And if you will turn from your sin and place your faith in all that he accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection, God will forgive you the penalty of your sin, and he will set you free from the power of sin over your life, give you a new beginning, empower you with his Spirit, and someday you will live with him forever. The Bible says you receive the gift of eternal life. And eternal, that's not just a quantity, that's a qualitative state of life, meaning it begins now and then continues on even after you die. This is the good news. And if you've never made that commitment, and today you are hearing the Spirit of God speaking to you, say, come, follow me. This is where it begins. It begins with taking the first step, the very first step of following, and surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. And so if you've never done that and you want to, I want you to just pray this with me this morning. You just bow your head right where you are, and you just pray right there in your lawn chair, on your blanket, wherever you might be. You just pray with me, Jesus Christ, I surrender. I admit that I am a sinner in need of the forgiveness that only you can offer. And so today, August 23rd, 2026, I repent of my sin. I place my trust in you, and I choose to follow you from this day forward. I thank you that through your death and resurrection, I am a new creation and I possess the gift of eternal life. And I ask now that as your Holy Spirit takes up residence in me, that I would be filled to overflowing with your precious Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Friend, if you prayed that prayer today and said yes to Jesus, the Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing with you, and so are we. Come on, guys, let's give it up for all those who responded to the invitation. Come and follow me. And if you said yes to Jesus, you're going to find some members of our team here outside today that have black shirts on that say yes on them. And we would love to celebrate this decision with you, answer any questions you may have, pray with you. And if you'd like, we'd love to give you a gift called a yes packet. You can find these at, there's a table that says yes back there, but also you can get these from the people in black shirts that say yes. We simply want to make sure that you feel supported as you begin your journey with Jesus Christ. But also, since we're out here around the lake, why not take the next step and follow Jesus into the waters of baptism, declaring the decision you've just made? We have everything ready. Jesus is calling. Come, follow me. So if you are here today and you're ready to be baptized, in a moment, I'm going to call you forward. Now, it's going to be like a maze getting up here, but you can figure it out, all right? If you see people come around you, move your chair out of the way, let them come forward. Or you can come around over here, around this edge. But I'm going to call everyone forward who's getting baptized. And I know what you're thinking. Every time, you're thinking, this is going to be awkward. Like, I'm standing up in front of everybody. I'm walking down front. I know that's what you're thinking, but let me just remind you, here's what people are actually thinking. As you get up and come down, nobody's thinking, oh, that's weird. And everyone's going, praise Jesus, let's go. This is awesome. We're right here with you, and we are cheering you on. So now, if you have pre-registered to be baptized, if you've just surrendered your life to Christ and want to respond to Jesus' instruction, or if you're already a believer but have never been baptized as a profession of your faith, on the count of three, I want you to stand up right where you are, and I want you to come down front. One, don't have to be afraid. We're right here with you. Two, your life will never be the same. Three, you just stand up right where you are. You start making your way through this maze and come on down front. Come on, guys. Give it up for them. If you got people around you, make way for them to come forward. Amen. Amen. keep coming. If you're on the other side of the lake, you come. Wherever you are, just make your way down front. Amen, amen. Keep coming, keep coming. So good. Thank you, Lord. Plenty of room down front. Don't miss your chance. You come now. If you feel the Lord knocking on your heart saying, come, you come right now. Respond immediately, publicly, sacrificially. Amen. Come on, guys. Come on. Just come on in up front. Make room for people out here. This is your chance. Keep coming. So proud of you. Go ahead, just fill in up front here as people are coming. Fill in up front. We're right here with you. We love you. This is your church family. No shame. You stand up, say, I'm following Jesus. I'm responding to his invitation today. Amen. Amen. Those of you standing down front, and those of you as you can continue to come now, I want you to know, I am so proud of you. And so is the rest of this church. We're proud of them, aren't we, guys? We love you. And most importantly, your Father in heaven's proud of you. When Jesus was baptized, after he was baptized, heaven opened, the Spirit descended, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I loved, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. I want you to hear the Spirit of God saying, this is my Son, this is my daughter, whom I love, and with you, I am well pleased. Now, before I release you, it looks like many of you have already changed, but some of you might need to. Before I release you to go and get changed, and we start baptizing here in a moment, I want to talk to you for just a moment. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved, it says you will be saved. And so if Jesus is your Lord, I want you to make that your confession this morning. You just say, Jesus is Lord. Come on, let's say it together. Jesus is Lord. And now if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I want you to say, I believe with me. Let's say it together. I believe. And now I want to walk you just through a short prayer of renunciation. The Bible says the moment that we are saved, we are transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So I want you to just pray this with me, just out loud, right here down front. If church, we can all pray this together. You just say, in Jesus' name, I renounce Satan and all of his works and all of his ways. I renounce every lie that I have ever believed. I renounce every evil that I have ever entered into. I renounce his work in my life. And I surrender myself to Jesus Christ. Amen. So church, let's pray. Then just extend a hand now for just a hand saying, man, I want to join you in that prayer. Let's just pray for each of these individuals as we get ready to baptize here in a moment. Lord, I thank you for each and every person represented down here this morning who has responded to your invitation. Come, follow me. And Lord, as they follow you in the waters of baptism today, Lord, I pray that you would bless them, Lord. I pray there would be an increased realization that they are dead to sin, that when they come out of the water, maybe there's patterns, habits in their lives that are broken off, that when they come out, they just say, man, I'm not going back. I'm not doing that anymore. I don't even have a desire to do that anymore. And Lord, as they are baptized, I pray, Holy Spirit,
that you would also encourage and strengthen our hearts as we celebrate and cheer them on. And so, Lord, I thank you for what's happened here in this moment. And we're going to give you all the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, listen, for those of you who are getting baptized, what I want you to do is I want you to head out this way. See this blue flag over here? This is Chris. I want you to follow Chris. You're going to walk out that way, and we'll bring you back around in just a moment. And if you need to get changed, they'll give you clothes up there. So go ahead and follow Chris. Come on, guys. Give it up for him as they head out. Listen, they're gonna head out, and they're gonna make their way back around in just a moment. What a morning. Now listen, as they get baptized here in a moment, I want you to know this baptism. It's not just about them. It's also the Lord uses moments like these to strengthen and encourage our faith. And so, church, what I want you to do is when they get baptized, you can all start. If you want to move closer, you can here in a moment. But anytime someone goes underwater and comes back up, it should sound like heaven, because that's what's going on in heaven. It should be cheering, celebration. And so for every person, let's get loud when they get baptized and celebrate with them and cheer them on. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We're going to worship as they get ready, then we'll start baptizing here in just a moment.
greatly to be praised. There's no higher name than the name of Jesus. Great is the Lord. Thank you.
greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things.
Check, 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 check. Hello, hello. Amen. Hello, hello. Okay. Sounds good. Here we go. Amen. Come on. Hey, somebody give the Lord praise for what just happened out here. Amen. Man, thank you so much for being here to celebrate all those who stepped forward and got baptized, followed Jesus into the waters of baptism. So cool. What just happened in the life of our church. So let's just pray, and we'll send you on your way, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. I got a duck pecking at my leg right now. All right. So, Lord, we just thank you for all that has happened out here this morning. We thank you for every single person who stepped into the water today, Lord, and got baptized. Lord, we pray you would seal in what has happened in their heart today, and we pray that you would bless them indeed. We know you have a great plan for their life. Thank you for this day in the life of our church, Lord. Strengthen and encourage our hearts in what we saw. It's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Have a great day, guys. God bless you.